Hold on to? Barely. To exist suggests the possibility that even without time and space, things might happen. Here's a useful analogy. Imagine that you are sitting in a room where you notice that objects are moving slightly. The milk in your cereal bowl is jiggling, and you can feel a vibration coming up through the floor. As it happens, you are deaf, so you have no way of knowing if something is pounding on the walls of the room from the outside. Some people might be sensitive enough to feel a vibration in their bodies. Let's leave this aside. But you can measure the waves in your cereal bowl and the vibrations of other objects, including the floor, ceiling, and walls. This is roughly how cosmologists confront the Big Bang. The universe is full of vibrations and waves emitted billions of years ago. These can be measured, and inference is drawn from them. But uneasiness appears if we ask a simple question. Can someone who was deaf from birth actually know what sound is? Though there are measurable vibrations associated with sound, feeling them is not the same experience as hearing a solo violin, the voice of Ella Fitzgerald, or a dynamite explosion. In the same way, measuring the light from racing galaxies and the background microwave radiation in the current universe, this radiation is a residue of the Big Bang, doesn't tell us what the beginning of the universe was like. We are working from inferences, just like a deaf person observing waves in his cereal bowl. And this limitation could be a fatal flaw in any explanation of where the universe came from. We can still try, from our standpoint here in our space-time, to explore laws of nature that operate outside space and time. In particular, physics can resort to the language of mathematics in the hopes that its existence doesn't depend on which universe you happen to live in. Most of the speculation that follows keeps faith with mathematics as something eternally valid. Even in an alien universe, where time goes backward and people walk on the ceiling, if you add one apple to another apple, the sum is two apples, right? However, no one has ever proved that this faith is actually valid. The mathematics that's applicable to black holes, for example, is locked in speculation, because a black hole is totally impenetrable. Mathematics could be the product of the human brain. Take the number zero. It hasn't always been around. By 1747 BCE, the ancient Egyptians and Babylonians had a written symbol for zero as a concept, but it wasn't used as a number for calculating purposes until around AD 800 in India, long past the heyday of Greek and Roman culture. Zero means that nothing is there, and in mathematics, nothing is simply another number, not a sign of existential despair. "I've accomplished zero with my life," would be a despairing statement. But the equation 1 minus 1 equals 0 isn't. In quantum physics, concepts of time can be fiddled with in very peculiar ways without anyone's feeling distress over their own existence. If time started to behave peculiarly in the everyday world, that's a different story. Drifting between two worlds, something about time is mysteriously personal, and it must be explained if we want to understand a human universe. The best answer so far. Clearly, the transition from early chaos to the orderliness of the current universe is filled with mysteries. The level where space and time break down is known as the Planck scale, named after German physicist Max Planck, the father of quantum mechanics, which is 20 orders of magnitude smaller than the nucleus of an atom. That is, 1 over 10 followed by 20 zeros. Impressively, the presence of near chaos hasn't stymied human understanding. The mind still finds things that hold steady. Perhaps. The relevant measurements at such a small scale are still defined by three constants relating to very basic aspects of creation: gravity, electromagnetism, and quantum mechanics. During the Planck era, the incredibly minute timescale when the Big Bang began, nature wasn't so recognizable, because the familiar constants and forces were either very different or didn't yet exist. In the so-called Planck dimension, space becomes foamy, an indistinct state where any sense of direction, such as up and down, comes to an end. In terms of duration, Planck time, the characteristic scale of the Planck era, is more than 30 orders of magnitude faster than the fastest timescales of present-day nanoscience, where a nanosecond is a billionth of a second. Therefore, the question of what existed before the Big Bang is equivalent to asking what existed before or beyond the Planck era. As it happens, physics can actually inquire about the trans-Planck realm. We know that mathematical laws govern the four basic forces: gravity, electromagnetism, and the strong and weak nuclear forces. This is one reason why faith in mathematics seems totally justified. Certain known constants tell us why these four forces assume the values they have in our universe. For example, when calculating the gravity anywhere, on Mars, on a distant star light years away, or at the microscopic scale of atoms, no matter how different these environments are, the constant that applies to gravity remains the same. Relying on constants allows Earth-bound physics to travel mentally to the farthest reaches of space and time. Could it be that the same constants exist in a timeless fashion, extending beyond our universe? Current physics cannot provide a definite answer. But if the constants are timeless, one can envision a continuity between our reality and unseen dimensions. Even short of that, you can see the allure of timeless constants. They give reality a sense of stability in the midst of roiling chaos. Timeless constants also shore up mathematics as a language that can survive the collapse of words. If before is a word that becomes meaningless, the value of pi and the formula E equals mc squared will still hold up. But these two could be illusions when we cross the Planck era threshold. For one thing, timeless constants beg the question of where they came from, leaving us without the origins story we are trying to seek. Taking our inquiry as close as possible to the very beginning, one is tempted to identify the pre-created state as the quantum vacuum. In classical physics, the vacuum is truly empty. Ironically, that kind of pure nothingness agrees with religious creation stories. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2. But quantum theory and its derivatives state that the vacuum is not empty at all. It is filled with quantum stuff. In fact, the quantum vacuum is as full as it can be, containing vast amounts of energy not manifesting in the observable universe. There is therefore no problem having the universe come out of the quantum vacuum, at least in terms of sufficient potential energies being available. There is also no doubt that following the universe to the very earliest phase must involve the physics of quantum vacuum. Even so, the Planck era sets up an impenetrable veil that blocks our view of the very beginning. One clever ploy is to do without a beginning at all, which has become a popular notion, strange as it sounds. Is the Big Bang necessary? Theoretically, there are other possibilities besides the Big Bang. This sounds peculiar if the Big Bang is real. But remember, the explosion that began the universe wasn't like a dynamite explosion. There was no matter or energy of the kind that creation is now filled with. The visuals you see on TV science programs that resemble an exploding star embedded in the blackness of space are totally misleading, since there was no space in existence at the very beginning. It would make life easier if the universe were born another way. A model called the steady-state universe was proposed in 1948 by Hermann Bondi, Thomas Gold, and Fred Hoyle, precisely to avoid the question of origin and what existed before the beginning. In the steady-state model, the universe also expands forever, as in the Big Bang, but with the additional proviso that it always looks the same, It obeys the perfect cosmological principle, which means the universe looks the same everywhere and at all times. In other words, no matter where one looks, no matter how far back, the universe would be the same. This implies that the creation of matter takes place continually in space-time, even as it is expanding. According to the Big Bang theory, creation occurred once. Nothing was required to turn into everything. So which model is true? Observations of distant light sources from the early state of the universe support an evolutionary model, which would discredit the original steady state. An updated version from 1993, proposed by Hoyle, Jeffrey Burbidge, and Jayant Narlikar, which they labeled as quasi-steady state, assumes that mini-bangs repeatedly occur in the universe. Another alternative, known as chaotic inflation, is quite similar to steady state, but at much, much larger scales. The term chaotic inflation was later replaced by eternal inflation, which gives a hint into its basic insight. Eternal inflation holds that certain hotspots in the quantum field accumulate enough energy to pop into creation, and this initial burst gives enough momentum that an entire universe can be born in an instant. There are various reasons why eternal inflation has become much in vogue, but the main one is that one-time genesis can be turned into a constant behavior of the quantum vacuum. In essence, if the vacuum can bubble up with very tiny things, subatomic particles, why not give it the ability to bubble up with very large things, universes? Inflationary theories all accept the Big Bang while also being saddled with the problem of beginnings and endings. Eternity, by definition, has neither beginning nor ending. According to the principle of eternal inflation, space-time has always been bubbling up in various places with huge inflationary events, like a cosmic bubble bath. These events happen at the speed of light and continue forever. Some brilliant physicists are infatuated with eternal inflation, and it's unlikely that someone as creaky and outdated as a philosopher could spoil things. But philosophy is concerned with words like existence and eternity, which turn out to be two very tricky terms. Gliding into the multiverse. Eternal inflation ties in with another notion currently in vogue, the multiverse. In this scheme, our universe isn't unique, but only one of many, many universes, bubbles in the bubble bath, whose number could be nearly infinite. We'll go into this in detail later. Because the Big Bang is so widely accepted, the possibility of eternal inflation has a leg up on steady-state theories. Once the door is opened, there are as many shots at creating a universe fit for human life as you may desire. In the cosmic casino, nature fizzes away with universes, and odds are it will hit upon the right one, our universe, eventually. After all, there are infinite rolls of the dice. The cosmic casino even allows for infinite changes in the rules, that is, laws of nature, governing how a cosmos works. Gravity, the speed of light, the quantum itself can be jiggled as you please, so the theory goes. But imagine that you are in a car with a friend acting as a navigator. You're in unknown country, so you ask him which way to turn at the next intersection. He replies, "There are infinite ways to turn at the next intersection, but don't worry, they lead to infinite other intersections where we can also take an infinite number of turns. Eventually, we'll get to Kansas City." Physics finds itself talking this way when dealing with the multiverse, eternal inflation, and the cosmic casino. The most absurd part, besides the fact that there are no data or experiments to show that a theoretical multiverse matches reality, is that such theories wave the map of infinite choices under our noses, claiming it's the best map anyone has ever drawn. The standard view among cosmologists is that some combination of different models, perhaps including the quasi-steady state, may still be viable. But no matter how many universes are allowed, the theory still begs the question of what existed before the creative process began. Before remains a useless word. Yet claiming that everything is, was, and always shall be the same feels intuitively like a hat trick. There are other ways of avoiding the question of a beginning. Before the Big Bang with cosmic inflation model became established, many cosmologists had favored cycles of expansion and contraction, leading from a beginning to an end and back again. In Eastern spiritual traditions, cyclical universes were accepted as a general concept taken from the life cycles of creatures being born, dying, and renewing themselves. Analogies aren't the same as scientific proof. But we need to remember that in the human universe, the processes that govern life as we know it must be tied to the mechanics of creation on a cosmic scale. A variant of the cyclic universe would exclude a Big Bang popping out of nothingness, while yet accounting for the present universe described by general relativity. Specifically, Roger Penrose has proposed a series of universes stretching back in infinite time. The current state emerged from a previous universe by recycling everything in it. And most important, the current physical laws and physical constants in nature. One Big Bang leads to another in an endless cycle, and so the pre-created state is just the tail end of the previous universe. The sequence of creations retains a certain kind of memory from one cycle to the next. In Penrose's intriguing conception, the entropy, or disorder, found in the universe plays a fundamental role. There is a law in physics, the second law of thermodynamics, that holds that the disorder in the entire universe increases over time. The words sound abstract, but it's this law that governed how a superheated early universe grew cold, how stars die, and why a log put on the fireplace goes up in smoke and leaves behind ashes. On scales both large and small, entropy increases. There are islands of negative entropy in the universe, where energy can be used for more order, as in living ecosystems, instead of winding down or dissipating. You are an island of order. As long as you keep consuming food, air, and water, your body is such an island, turning raw.